Hey everyone, and welcome to the Sunny Go One Piece podcast. On this episode, now that we're done with the Summit War saga, I'm going to talk about and review the two arcs contained within the saga, Impel Down and Marineford, on kind of a more higher level and give my overall thoughts on them. And yeah, Marineford is considered by many to be the best arc in the series. For me, it's still Water 7 and Enies Lobby, but Marineford is certainly very high up there. And yeah, I won't argue against anyone who says that Marineford is better than Water 7, because they do have a good point. I think it really comes down to sort of personal preferences, and you could easily slot in one or the other, or other arcs, to be honest. I mean, if neither of those is your favorite, then there's nothing wrong with that either. But it's certainly deserving of all the praise that it gets and has gotten over the years. Yeah, the Summit War Saga is a very seminal moment in the series of One Piece because of the fact that it's the climax and it brings the close to the first act of One Piece. Alright, so yeah, let's just get right into it with sort of the Impel Down side of things, I guess. And as you may have already guessed, I really love Impel Down. This arc really comes at a great time in the overall run in the series. And just when you think you've got the formula of One Piece figured out, where you have the crew go onto an island, help a bunch of people, beat up bad guys while collecting new crew members, it throws a massive curveball at you and keeps the story fresh and new. It does this by separating our main character from his usual supporting cast of characters and pairs him with not just new characters, but they all happen to be past villains. And one of the best things about this new position that Oda puts Luffy into isn't just about throwing something new at Luffy, it really informs you a lot more about who Luffy is as a character by putting him through so much in preparation for his growth that happens at the end of this arc and in between this and the next phase of the story, which is the post-time skip era in the new world. And I feel like we learn more about Luffy in this saga along with Sabaody and Amazon Lily than we ever do in the combination of everything leading up to that point. And one common saying that people always talk about is that they say character is the virtue of hard times, meaning that you learn most about someone's character during their most difficult times. And Luffy, we learn, is not just a ball of determined and positive force of nature, which we knew already, but through this arc, it really showcases that even someone as unflappable as Luffy can fall to trauma and pain and can be overwhelmed by insurmountable obstacles. But what I love about this moment is that even people like Luffy can fail, and fail in the most tragic way possible. He's not perfect, and in fact, not anywhere close to it. Despite his inhuman-like qualities, Oda still makes sure to inject the right amount of heart in Luffy and shows how vulnerable Luffy can be. And I love that he shows us that we can fail, become depressed, and even grieve, but always remember we can come back and must push forward after, you know, the appropriate amount of healing and grieving time, that is. And we see that through Luffy in this entire saga. The other aspect that I love that really gets fleshed out and it's time to shine is just how magnetic Luffy is. This has been something that's been implied with wherever Luffy goes, he has this uncanny ability to rally people around him, but this quality is brought to the forefront and even explicitly stated as Luffy's most dangerous superpower in these arcs. And Luffy's magnetic personality to attract people around him is something that he innately has that he doesn't even really control. It just kind of happens because of the way he is. And time again, we see Luffy throughout this saga gaining the support of a variety of different people of varying standings, species, allegiances, and power helping him. And it's quite honestly one of the coolest things to see, from Hancock and the Kuja Pirates, all the former adversaries like Buggy, Galdino, Crocodile, to the newcomer people and Ivankov, the Whitebeard Pirates and Whitebeard himself, and of course Jinbei. And even going back to his past, we see how he gains the love of like Ace and Sabo, and especially Dadan and her gang. I mean, this isn't anything new or, you know, that we've learned about Luffy, but it is the first time we've seen it explicitly acknowledged by the characters and seen it on display on such a level that impacts this arc in a major way. The third thing and more subtle aspect of Luffy that's explored indirectly is Luffy's moral ambiguity. I, of course, don't mean to say that Luffy is a morally gray person, but the theme of moral ambiguity is a theme that's explored quite a bit in this entire saga. In reference to Luffy specifically, we learned that despite how Luffy does mostly good, he's never once professed that he's a hero with a strict moral code like Superman or Captain America. Luffy is a pirate, and he's not shy about it either. He isn't above doing things that aren't considered good just to serve his own purposes. They're generally not done out of malice, but more so out of necessity. Case in point, he literally frees a huge number of dangerous prisoners from Impel Down and unleashes them back into the world just to have a shot at saving his brother. I think this is such an interesting idea because we know at heart Luffy is good and will always fight on the right side, but I just find it interesting to see Luffy do things that if you saw them from an outsider's perspective would be seen as a very bad thing. Like, poor Magellan effectively was gravely injured and lost his job all because of Luffy and his sort of, I guess not so much his malice, but his selfishness. And so, yeah, I think with Luffy, it is interesting to see that he isn't above doing sort of, I guess, what we would consider a bad thing. But for the most part, Luffy always does do good. But yeah, I like how this arc kind of really reevaluates, yeah, Luffy's actual morality. And this theme would then be extrapolated to the war itself. And it's quite eloquently summed up by Doflamingo's famous "What is justice?" quote. And there are multiple times where the quote-unquote good guys, the Marines, are seen doing very morally questionable things, particularly exemplified by Akainu and how he treats his soldiers and sacrificing them, or even in some cases straight up executing them unjustly. And throughout the whole war, people like Garp, Tashigi, Smoker, and Kobe are constantly at odds with their own sense of justice and struggling to reconcile with whether what they're doing is the right thing. And there's a lot of questioning of what exactly is right and what's wrong, what's justice, what's piracy, what's good evil. And I like how this arc doesn't necessarily spell it out that there is a, you know, a binary of good or evil. There is a whole range. And I think that's one of the major themes of One Piece as a whole, is really looking at what is actually right and what is wrong in terms of each situation. And there's a lot more nuance to it. And it'll be interesting to see going forward how the story and Oda handles that. Because on the flip side, then you have the irony and hypocrisy of the Marines using the strength of the Shichibukai and forcing them to fight. And we see that this mightily backfires on them for the most part, as many of the Shichibukai turn on them, like Crocodile, Hancock, and Jinbei, and even Mihawk, who is basically fighting for them, but is doing so very half-heartedly. Of course, you have Moria, Kuma, and Doflamingo, who are really the only ones actually fighting on the side of the Marines, but Doflamingo is kind of just doing his own thing, more or less, just because he likes violence and killing. And so, really, Kuma is the only one they actually have maximum control over, because despite Moria fighting for them, he's also the weakest one and is borderline useless compared to the other Shichibukai. It really just shows how flawed the Shichibukai system is, especially when you consider that it was Hancock who helped Luffy get into Impel Down in the first place using her status as a Shichibukai. Then you also have the fact that Jinbei and Crocodile helped Luffy escape, but is nothing compared to the worst case scenario of how the Shichibukai system really screwed the Marines and the world government over. It's how it's led to the creation of one of the biggest problems going forward in turning Blackbeard into the one of the most powerful and dangerous pirate crews in the world, because of the fact that his Shichibukai status let him get into Impel Down and release all those level 6 inmates and have them join the crew, which also then subsequently led to one of the craziest developments. And yeah, I mean, Blackbeard, this saga really does an amazing job in creating not one but two major series spanning antagonists for Luffy to deal with for the rest of the series, really. Blackbeard is one of them, but also Akainu is the other one. And for the remainder of the series, we have three different sets of overarching antagonists for us fans to salivate over seeing the crew tackle. And at some point near the end of the series, we hope to see them actually interact with all three of them. The day we see the Straw Hats face off against the Gorosei, Akainu, and Blackbeard will be something to behold. And another thing that I really enjoy about this arc is how much we learned about Luffy, both seeing his past and why he is the way he is, as well as seeing him be tested and getting to the culmination of his character arc of learning what he's lacking and what he needs to do to become who he needs to be in order to be a good captain. And I've talked about this in the past, but I think it's been really amazing seeing Luffy's character arc since the beginning of Long Ring Long Land, seeing him constantly tested. And these last two arcs really pushed Luffy to his limits and ultimately breaking him, sending him to the lowest point we'll probably ever see him at the end of this saga. And this entire time, we've seen Luffy's faults, weaknesses, and flaws highlighted in his physical strength and his leadership skills. And I like seeing that despite Luffy being very talented and strong, he's still got a long ways to grow before he's ready to really go after the One Piece. Which leads me to another thing this saga does an amazing job with, the ability to further expand the world of One Piece and show just how much of a small fish Luffy is in a huge sea. Luffy is completely outmatched by almost everyone this entire time. And the only things he's got over anyone really is his heart and will. Like, Oda has been very good about gradually increasing our awareness of the world and what's out there, but the Marineford arc, it's like drinking from a fire hose as the story introduces so many characters and plot lines that have huge ramifications for the rest of the story during this saga, to the point where it kind of gets a bit overwhelming sometimes, but not so much that you can't really follow it. Not only do we learn a good deal about the characters and their history, but it also really hammers home the point of inequality, particularly class inequality when looking at the story of Goa Kingdom and the themes of freedom and justice, as these two concepts were already huge in the series, but here we start to learn where people stand on that, or inversely, some characters begin to question these very concepts in their own philosophies, and it's really interesting to see how all of those sort of coalesce into these multiple plot lines and storylines. And I think the single greatest thing that Marineford in particular does for One Piece is have actual permanent stakes. And this is one thing that no other arc can really claim, as we see some truly story and world impacting events take place in this arc. And of course, the two biggest things being our first legitimate and permanent deaths in the present with Ace and Whitebeard's death. This was huge at the time when it was happening in real time, and to this day, this event has a major impact on the story and continues to do so. And it was shocking and heartbreaking all at the same time. And one of the things that made it so impactful is ironically Oda's reluctance to actually kill anyone, up until this point in the story. We'd see that reluctance pay off in another way as well, with Luffy being able to reunite with so many past villains in Impel Down, which added so much fun and nostalgia to this saga, but also created a fresh feeling like I talked about earlier. This was easily one of the funnest parts about this saga, and just the fun new dynamics with different characters you'd never think Luffy would be able to interact with. Not to mention the new characters in Ivankov and Jinbei being surprise allies of Luffy was particularly entertaining as well. Jinbei in particular is a real standout in this arc, acting as Luffy's overall support and mentor throughout the entire war, while Ivankov was that for Luffy during much of Impel Down. Jinbei has established himself as a true friend and ally to Luffy, with that now iconic, what's gone is gone, what do you still have moment, and that in and of itself really elevates this arc to me. It's one of the most impactful and powerful moments in the entire series, as I mentioned in the episode where we talked about that moment. However, as near perfect as the Summit War Saga is, the one thing that always held it back for me personally, and this isn't a criticism necessarily on the storytelling or the writing, because this was done by design, but for me, the absence of the crew can really be felt here, and I miss them. And it's just not the same without the other Straw Hats, and I miss not having them here. Now, of course, like I said, this was Oda's intent, and so I'm not necessarily knocking it against the storytelling, but that's why for me, personally, Marineford isn't at the top of the list like it is for many people, because I like having the Straw Hats and not having the rest of the crew, and having that crew dynamic there is what kind of holds it back for me personally. Last thing I want to mention, circling back to how Marineford had tangible and permanent stakes, is how the events of this arc changes One Piece going forward from establishing Blackbeard as one of, if not the primary antagonist of the rest of the series, by making him a truly formidable and dangerous man by increasing his crew and giving him a second Devil Fruit power of all things. The Marines, on the other hand, go through a massive shakeup as well, with the Shichibukai system being thrown into disarray, with both Sengoku and Garp also retiring to make way for a new fleet admiral really shakes up how the Marines and the world government's power structure also changes. With now Whitebeard gone, the Yonko are also in a state of flux as well. So you have the three powers, the Marines, the Shichibukai, and the Yonko systems all being thrown into complete chaos. And so seeing the world kind of in this unstable and dangerous time, it is very interesting to see how all of that affects going forward. And much of how this will end up is largely left a mystery for now, but it leaves us as the viewer or reader in a very exciting place for the story to go. In closing, the Summer War Saga and the Marineford arc in particular are considered to be the pinnacle of One Piece so far and beyond. And I agree, Marineford has been, for the most part, unmatched in terms of the pure spectacle and impact that it has had on the series. Marineford is certainly near the top of my favorite arcs, and Impel Down, while not as high, is still absolutely an amazing arc that shakes up the formula for something that is different and incredibly fun. But now that we are finished with the pre-time skip era of One Piece, we are moving on to the new world when we return with the post-time skip era of One Piece, which will be very, very fun to talk about. And if you did enjoy this, send me a like or comment. And if you want to join me on this journey of rewatching One Piece, please consider subscribing. Check out my Instagram and Twitter account or X account at Sunnygo Podcast if you want updates of when I post new episodes. And as always, I wanted to thank you for taking the time out to listen to my podcast. Stay safe out there, and I hope to see you on the next episode. Bye.